It's Saturday, March 7th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Earlier this week, we covered the Strait of Hormuz crisis and how a 3-kilometer-wide waterway shutting down can send oil prices spiking and ripple through the price of everything from gasoline to groceries. But this isn't the first time the world's energy supply depended on a single fragile system. In the 1800s, the global economy didn't run on oil. It ran on whales. Specifically, on a waxy substance found inside the heads of sperm whales that burned brighter and cleaner than anything else humans had ever found. And the story of how we stopped using it is one of the most useful frameworks for understanding energy, economics, and why transitions happen the way they do. It's not the story most people think it is. Before electricity, before petroleum, before natural gas, the best source of light in the world came from the head of a sperm whale. Inside the skull of every sperm whale is an organ filled with a waxy liquid called spermaceti. When you process it into candles, it burns brighter, longer, and cleaner than tallow, beeswax, or any plant-based oil available at the time. No smoke, no smell, and a steady, clear flame. In the 1700s and 1800s, if you could afford spermaceti candles, you had the best lighting money could buy. If you couldn't, you were reading by the flicker of a tallow candle that smelled like a barnyard. The economics built an empire. By the 1840s, New Bedford, Massachusetts had become one of the wealthiest cities in the United States per capita, fueled almost entirely by whaling. Herman Melville set Moby Dick there for a reason. The American whaling fleet swelled from about 400 ships in the 1830s to over 700 by the 1840s, employing tens of thousands of sailors. At its peak, the industry was producing 4 to 5 million gallons of spermaceti and 6 to 10 million gallons of regular whale oil annually. Sperm oil sold for nearly $2 a gallon, which adjusted for inflation, is somewhere around $200 today. To put that in perspective, you're paying roughly $3 to $4 a gallon for gasoline right now. Imagine paying $200. That's what premium lighting fuel cost in the 1850s. Whaling wasn't a niche industry. It was the energy sector. The ships, the ports, the processing facilities, the global trade routes, the financial instruments that funded multi-year voyages. It was an entire economy organized around extracting fuel from the ocean. And like every energy system, it had a choke point problem. Whaling voyages lasted years. Ships had to travel farther and farther from port as whale populations declined closer to shore. The right whale, one of the primary targets, was being killed at a rate of about 15,000 per year in the early 1800s. By mid-century, voyages that once lasted months were lasting 3 to 4 years, pushing into the Pacific and Arctic. The cost of each gallon of oil was climbing because the supply was getting harder to reach. Sound familiar? The popular version of what happened next goes like this. In 1859, Edwin Drake drilled the first successful oil well in Titusville, Pennsylvania. Kerosene refined from petroleum was cheaper and more abundant than whale oil. The market shifted, the whales were saved, and the petroleum age began. It's a clean story. It's also incomplete. The truth is more interesting. By the time Drake drilled his well, the whaling industry was already in serious trouble. Whale populations were declining, costs were rising, and the Civil War was pulling experienced sailors into the Navy. President Lincoln actually had 38 decrepit whaling ships filled with stones and deliberately sunk to blockade Charleston Harbor because the industry was already dying and the ships were worth more as obstacles than as vessels. Meanwhile, alternatives to whale oil had been competing in the market for decades. Town gas derived from coal lit street lamps in British cities as early as the 1800s, and American cities followed 2 to 3 decades later. Camphene, a turpentine-based fuel, was widely used for household lighting. Lard oil from the meatpacking industry was cheap and available. What kerosene did wasn't replace whale oil in a vacuum. It replaced whale oil at the exact moment when whale oil was becoming scarce and expensive, and a constellation of cheaper alternatives were already chipping away at its market share. When Michael Dietz introduced his clean-burning kerosene lamp in 1857, 2 years before Drake's well, the public response was almost immediate. By 1860, at least 30 kerosene plants were operating in the United States. Kerosene was easy to produce, cheap, smelled better when burned, and didn't spoil on the shelf. The transition wasn't one fuel replacing another in a slow, orderly process. Once the price crossed, it moved fast. And a Civil War tax on alcohol that killed the camphene market cleared the path for kerosene to dominate completely. The pattern is worth paying attention to because it keeps repeating. Whale oil to kerosene, kerosene to electric lighting, coal to natural gas. In every case, the old fuel didn't disappear because people decided it was bad. It disappeared because something cheaper showed up. The moral arguments, the conservation arguments, the environmental arguments, they mattered, but they mattered most after the economics had already shifted. The 1986 global ban on commercial whaling came decades after the market had moved on. The regulation formalized what the price signal had already accomplished. Which brings us to right now. According to the International Renewable Energy Agency, over 90% of new renewable energy projects built in 2024 were cheaper than building new fossil fuel plants. That's an important distinction. It doesn't mean your electric bill is lower today, because most of the grid still runs on infrastructure that was built decades ago. It means that if you're a utility deciding what to build next, solar or wind is now the cheaper option in most of the world. Solar and offshore wind are now 41 and 53% cheaper than new fossil fuel generation, respectively. The money the world saved in 2024 by using existing renewables instead of buying fossil fuels to generate the same electricity came to an estimated $467 billion. The economics have crossed. Solar follows what engineers call a learning curve, which means the more of it you build, the cheaper it gets. For every doubling of installed capacity, the cost drops by about 20%. That rate has held for 40 years, and there's no reason to expect it to stop. It's the same dynamic that made flat-screen TVs go from $5,000 to $300. The more you manufacture, the better and cheaper the process becomes. Fossil fuels don't work this way. They follow the opposite pattern. The more you extract, the harder and more expensive the next barrel gets, because the easy reserves get tapped first, and what's left is deeper, farther away, or in politically unstable territory. This week's Hormuz crisis is a perfect example. The supply chain gets more fragile the more you depend on it. U.S. natural gas prices are expected to double between 2024 and 2026, according to the Energy Information Administration. 3 years ago, Russia's invasion of Ukraine tripled global gas prices overnight. Renewable energy prices, meanwhile, have fallen by 2.5 to 4 times over the past decade. Battery storage costs have dropped ninefold. The volatility goes one direction for fossil fuels and the opposite direction for renewables. The simple narrative misses something important, though, and it's the same thing the whale oil story misses. Transitions aren't clean substitutions. When kerosene replaced spermaceti for lighting, it didn't end whaling. It enabled industrial-scale whaling in the 20th century because petroleum-powered ships could hunt faster and farther. The sperm whale catch actually peaked in the 1960s. A century after kerosene supposedly saved them. It took the 1986 International Whaling Moratorium, a global ban on commercial whaling enforced by the International Whaling Commission, to finally bring catch numbers down. The lesson isn't that markets solve everything. It's that markets start the transition and regulation finishes it. Price gets people to switch. Rules keep them from going back. The parallel to today is uncomfortable but clarifying. Renewables are already cheaper than fossil fuels for new electricity generation in most of the world. The economics have flipped. But fossil fuel infrastructure is massive, embedded, and politically protected. The transition has started, the same way kerosene started replacing whale oil in the 1860s, but the installed base of fossil fuel infrastructure is the equivalent of a 700-ship whaling fleet that still has economic and political power even as the market moves away from it. The price signal is necessary but not sufficient. What finishes the job is what it's always been: policy, regulation, and the political will to follow the economics where they're already pointing. 200 years ago, the world's energy supply depended on hunting a single animal across increasingly distant oceans. Today, it depends on shipping oil through a single strait that's 3 kilometers wide. The technology changed. The fragility didn't. Every energy transition in history has followed the same arc. The old fuel gets scarce and expensive, the new fuel gets cheap, and the switch happens not because people decide it should, but because the math stops working. The math on fossil fuels stopped working a few years ago. The transition just hasn't caught up yet. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.